Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the things we'll be discussing today, it's Monday, April 1st, April Fool's, 2013. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We're going to be talking about, is it an economic depression in our future? Is there one? Or has it already begun? And we're going to be talking about nations as they're determined to grab more gold, and why are they grabbing more gold? And we're going to continue talking about the economy. We're going to be talking, of course, in the first 20-minute segment, we're going to be talking about Cyprus, Social Security, Homeland Security, and many, many other things. So make sure you stay tuned. But first, we're going to go to the markets. And after they were closed on Friday, you had gold. You know, it just makes me frustrated. 1600, they kept gold at that level. 1600 up $1.70. You have gold, or I should say, silver down 29 cents today. Silver down 29. Bear with me here, just a moment, folks. Down 29 cents at 28.11. Platinum was up $26 today at 15.97, and palladium was up 9 at 786. So you had gold up $1.70 at 1600. Silver up or down 29 at 28.11. The markets today, the USDX today was down 0.24 at 82.73. Crude oil was down a few cents today at 96.89. And the stock market today, after being closed for 3 days, there was a manufacturing data that came out today. And you'd think with those types of numbers, you'd see the Dow slip a lot further than just 6 points. But that's what it shows us. The Dow down 6 points at 14,572. NASDAQ down 28 at 32.39. S&P down 7 at 15.62. The 10-year yield is 1.84, and the euro at 128.5. So they're certainly blaming the big 6 points on the manufacturing. The estimates were for 54.0, and it came in at 51.3. And it's also below its February reading. So it's kind of interesting because you usually think that the first quarter is a little bit off, and then you should be picking up a little bit more steam. But Those are the reasons. So whether they're manufactured or true, we have Alfred Attisk here to tell us the facts.
How would I know whether they're manufactured or true?
April Fools.
Yeah, I guess so. We have to presume, if the numbers are coming out of the government, it's reasonable to presume they are false. Mm-hmm. If they're coming out of the markets, even there, things are clearly manipulated. Some people say, oh, they're not manipulated. That's just conspiracy theory talk. No, it's absolutely true. And we did an article on it back a month ago or thereabouts, pointed out that the evidence that the markets are manipulated, one of the most undeniable bits of evidence is the plunge protection team, which was initiated by executive order by Ronald Reagan, where he established a group that was responsible for ensuring that the stock market would never plunge the way it had just, I don't remember, a month or two before. And in order to prevent that, they have a group that will only let the stock market fall so much. You won't see a 500 point or 1,000 point drop. Oh, you might see 500. I don't even remember where they stop it, but a few hundred points they stop it. They will not let it take off and just run wild. Well, what is that if not market manipulation? If the free market wants to fall 2,000 points, the free market should be allowed to fall 2,000 points. But the government says, no, we won't let it fall more than, I'll say 500, but I don't know if that's the number they're working with or not. Melody, you may know. Do you know?
Not at this moment.
Yeah, I understand. But the point is, the fact that they, you know, market manipulation isn't simply something where you hold prices down. It's also where you hold prices up. It is instituted by law. They're manipulating the market. They've been doing it since Reagan was in office. By law. So anyone who says they're not manipulating the market, how long do you think they had to sit there before they thought to themselves, you know, if we can prevent it from going down, wouldn't it be better if we even made it go up? And if we can prevent the Dow from going down, why couldn't we suppress the price of gold, for example, in the name of helping to protect Dow Jones from falling? Maybe it would be. Someone could argue that it was conducive to maintaining the apparent strength of the stock market if we hold some of the commodities like gold down. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happened, but once you legalize any part of manipulation, you have implicitly legalized almost any kind of manipulation that the government finds advantageous, which simply says, look, they're doing it. It's not even debatable. We don't know how much. We don't necessarily know in which instances, but we know it's certainly possible in any instance. Did the market really go up? Did it really go down? Or did some bureaucrat just throw another dart at the dartboard? What's actually happened here, Melody? Do you have any idea? Darts or free market? What's controlling our fate?
Well, you know, it's a little scary, but I would have to give my vote to darts.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's what's going on here. The whole thing has become just, and it's wrong, and I know it's justifiable. People say, oh, my gosh, we can't have the stock market fall 1,000 points in one day. You know, it just creates economic havoc. I get that. But it would also allow for the stock market to perhaps rise 800 or 1,000 points in the following day or week. I don't know what the answer is. I can't give you a recommendation except I can make this observation. Once you give the government power to control what is the allegedly free market, you don't have a free market anymore. That's point one. It is a manipulated market. It's not a free market. They can say we're doing it for everybody's best interest. But in the end, the question is, should the value of the Dow Jones be set by all the people in the market? Or should it be set by a handful of individuals sitting in Washington, D.C.? Inevitably, the handful of individuals are going to make serious mistakes. And rather than admit the mistakes, they'll make more mistakes to cover up the first mistakes. Next thing you know, you're sitting on the edge of an economic collapse, which is where we are today. And I'll say one other thing here that's offside. We talked at the beginning of the program, you mentioned Social Security, which takes care of us in our retirement, and we have Homeland Security, which takes care of us in, against any dangers to the homeland. And what's the other security we've got? Oh, we've got bank security, thanks to the FDIC. Your accounts are insured. And I'm wondering, with all of this security around us, do any of you feel more secure? I don't. You know, it seems like the more programs the government produces for our security, the less secure we become. What do we got next, Melody?
Well, what about the big depositors in Cyprus? And I think they're actually losing more than what they thought.
Yep, they thought they might lose 40%. What's actually happened, according to an article at Reuters, says big depositors in Cyprus's largest banks stand to lose far more than initially feared under a European Union rescue package to save the island from bankruptcy. Under conditions expected to be announced on Saturday, depositors in the Bank of Cyprus will get shares in the bank worth 37.5% of their deposits over 100,000 euros. So what will happen now is you're not going to get hit with a 40% haircut. You're going to only get hit with 37.5%. That's going to go of you, anything you've got over $100,000 will go to the bank. 37.5%. Now, and it goes on, it says, depositors at the Bank of Cyprus will get shares in the bank worth 37.5% of their deposits over 100,000 euros, while the rest of their deposits may never be paid back. They were at least hoping to get out with 60%. They said, oh, great, you know, at least we'll only lose 40% or now 35%. No, they're going to lose 100%. That's the implication here. But they're going to get 35% back in bank shares. And that's in return for capitalizing the bank. So, you know, what do? You have just, congratulations. By virtue of having over 100,000 euros in the Bank of Cyprus, it may be that you may have lost the whole 100%, but 37% will go to shares in the bank. Big deal. You know, I mean, just a complete ripoff, a complete robbery. That's what's implied. Well, this article implies that the decision won't be made until, well, it's not clear whether it's made this last Saturday or the Saturday coming at the end of this week. But the fact that they're even considering this, right? It's like finding yourself in circumstances where some people are debating whether they should chop off your head or just shoot you between the eyes. How did I get here? How did I get in this circumstance? I wasn't doing anything wrong. You understand? Well, here are their options to date. You either have a beheading or bang bang right between the eyes. What do you think? Big depositors, in any case, are having a lot of trouble. And it leads us to another article. Here's in the New York Times. It says big depositors seek a new safety net. For the first day of the new year, $1.5 trillion in bank deposits will lose an unlimited government guarantee that was granted during the financial crisis to assure skittish customers their cash was safe. For a handful of boutique firms and service banks, it's a boon for business. But these accounts are losing the insurance. The accounts losing the insurance are used by businesses, municipalities. They're talking about accounts here in the United States. Big depositors have just lost their safety net. For big depositors, not you and me, not average people, and whatever, but the big depositors are now exposed. And this parallels, to some degree, what we just saw, at least proposed, for Cyprus. Big depositors were threatened with losing everything. Not just 37.5%. They'd only get something back for 37.5%. They were going to give away the other 62.5%. Just gone. Goodbye. Huh? Now we have big depositors in this country, according to the New York Times, who are also looking for a new safety net. What kind of safety net do you think they should seek, Melody?
Well, in my view, it could be gold.
But yeah.
We've been talking about this for a long time, about how the change of banking is coming here in the U.S. with this with these accounts no longer insured. I think that's why perhaps we knew we'd see a big increase in the stock markets. We certainly seen that in the first quarter. These corporations, they're going to look to secure a lot of that cash, but they're also going to be doing things that they've didn't want to do. They were safe and having all this cash on the sidelines. Now they're trying to push that cash back out into the markets.
Yeah, and where are you going to? Where's a safe place to put it?
Well, the best place I know is gold.
I agree. They're telling you that you can't trust the banks. You can't trust them in Cyprus. If you're a big depositor in Cyprus, small depositors were not hurt in Cyprus, so far as I know. At least they haven't had their property officially taken away from them. They may not be able to access it because of bank controls, but it's still there and it's supposedly theirs. But big depositors took a real haircut, a real beating. Here in the United States, they are threatened with, they're increasingly at risk. And here's another one from Investment Watch. It says, U.S. Department of Homeland Security has told banks in writing it may inspect safe deposit box without warrant and seize any gold, silver, guns, or other valuables it finds inside those boxes. This was posted at dinnervets.com. According to in-house memos now circulating, the Department of Homeland Security has issued orders to banks across America, which pronounce that to them that under the Patriot Act, the Department of Homeland Security has the absolute right to seize, without any warrant whatsoever, any and all customer bank accounts, to make periodic and unannounced visits to any bank, to open and inspect the contents of selected safe deposit boxes. All right, they are moving without warrants. You understand that? And according to this article, customer bank accounts, not just the safe deposit boxes, but even the customer bank accounts, so they can seize them. Well, the point to all of this is that if you want to store most of your wealth in a bank, your bank is in, your wealth is increasingly at risk. We see things happening in law. Department of Homeland Security has allegedly said in writing, they've said, look, if we want to take it, we get to take it, and we don't need a warrant. Warrants? We don't need no stinking warrants. And that's what we have running our bank and financial system right now, at least insofar as Department of Homeland Security can involve itself in our financial affairs. This tells us, this is another leaf in the breeze that tells us now might be a good time to move at least some of your money out of your bank account and put it someplace and perhaps in another form that the government cannot easily and electronically confiscate. That means you're going to bury it in the backyard and you're going to probably be talking about gold or silver. We're going to take a break for about 3 minutes. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
Denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. And, Melody, do we or do we not have a special du jour today?
Actually, I didn't. I thought we had sold out. I have like two of those 62 $5 Liberties available at $500. And $40 is Mint State 62 $5 Liberties. I got two left. I mean, if you want more, we just adjust the price. But at that special price, we have those available. 1 ounce Silver Eagles. There's been a ton, literally a ton, of Silver Eagles that have been sold today, which put premiums on the Silver Eagles, and it also put a little delay on the Silver Eagles. We can still get them locked up. My view of this is you still have silver below $30, hanging out about $28. You have the beginning of a new quarter, and so I think you have adjustments, and you have a lot of those folks who do speculate on the markets come in and make these all these buys, and it's particularly with the silver down at $28. So my buyer told me this morning, and, you know, there was like almost 50,000 ounces sold probably before 10 o'clock this morning. So, and that's just one dealer, my buyer in California. So a lot of deals on silver, but the premium's up just a tad, not much. And again, shipping delays on the silver. But we'll lock in the prices for you so it doesn't change. And you can make payment by a personal check or a bank wire. 90% silver with the lower prices. You don't have that many people selling. They're waiting for it to go higher. So it's a little, 90% is also a little stagnant on there. But we can get you locked in on the Silver Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs. We also have Morgan Silver Dollars that are available. We have some circulated VG Plus. Our circulateds are all very nice. Clean dates, nice ridges. I'm sure they're toned and everything over the years, but they're very nice. VG Plus pre 21 Morgans, we have those available for you. And I also picked up some AU Unc Morgan Silver Dollars. Premium's a little, they're between a circulated and a mint state coin. So the price is a little bit higher, but very beautiful mixed dates. So if they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
One of the questions I have for you.
What?
What is implied? What? What is implied when we see a sudden increase in the sale of Silver Eagles?
Well, as I mentioned, it's the end of the quarter, going into the first year. And I think anytime you can get pickup silver these days below $30, it's a great opportunity. So demand is strong. And we've had big buyers, you know, boxes, tons of box sales today. Monster boxes have been sold. So it's the larger orders that are larger buyers that are coming into the market. But again, I think there's a, you know, just as we go into January 1st, and we'll have to see once the Treasury releases the numbers for April to see exactly what the true numbers were. And, you know, is this just an anomaly or is this going to be following through for the rest of the month? January 1st, we saw the same thing, huge day, the first trading day of the year. And I believe that's a follow-through from the end of the quarter, people, you know, eliminating their inventories and then picking up at the first of the month. So we'll have to see if where it all hands out. But it's a great buying opportunity.
Well, folks, here's my point. It appears to me that a whole bunch of people think we have hit the bottom in silver.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that they're looking at this as a buying opportunity. They're buying now because they don't believe the price is going to fall much below where it is. Right? So for me, it suggests that they think we are at the beginning of a rise in the price. They don't expect it to go lower, and they have to expect that it's going to start going up higher now. That's the implication in my mind. Well, go ahead.
I think both are positioned to go higher. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, there has been a lot of pressure. What's interesting today is to see the other white metals up so significantly, platinum and palladium. And I believe there was one... I don't know if this is due to the Russia and South Africa. They were looking to create an OPEC-style platinum block, and that information came out last week. I'm not sure. You know, it could be a possibility of why you're seeing the metals, the platinum and palladium, rise so much higher the past couple of days of over gold and silver. That's certainly... could be a part of it. So, but you got to remember too, usually these are short terms when platinum and palladium or any metal will rise based on some sort of a plan to create this type of trading, because it's usually production that will finally rule the price, production and demand that will rule the price. So just keep that in mind.
Okay, what's next, Melody?
I think we got Jim from West Virginia. We also have George from Toronto holding, so let's get to Jim first. Are you there, Jim?
Oh, yeah, I'll make it short. This is a double whammy about the FDIC, which I knew was a scam when I was a kid. And this is from today from Jim Rogers. Currently, the FDIC has only 20, and I've got a double whammy on this one, has only $25 billion, excuse me, of insurance protection for over $9 trillion in deposits. And even a small banking crisis in the U.S. could instantly deplete those reserves, end of quote. Now, that looks like 0.28% coverage from the FDIC. That's just like if you had $1 million home and had homeowners insurance from an insurance company which is only worth $25,000 or whatever. Now, double whammy. The last time I read an economics book was probably 20, 25 years ago. But back then, they said the FDIC was diversified into stocks and bonds. If that goes down, I doubt they'll have $25 billion. So FDIC is a pure scam. I don't see why they would have any reason to try to do anything right. And I've said enough. Thank you again.
All right, Jim. Thank you. What Jim is telling us is, if his numbers are correct, he's pointing out that the FDIC can only handle the failure of a relatively few banks. Handful of banks fail, the FDIC could be out of business. It is guaranteeing the bank accounts for across the country for small savers. All right? But if push comes to shove, that guarantee isn't worth a nickel. All right? It's not valuable. This is another one of these leaves in the breeze. We talked earlier in the program about the implications that flow from Cyprus, from what we are seeing here in the United States. Big investors or big savers, they don't have the same safety net they've had in the past. All of this has to be raising concern about how safe is anyone's money in a major bank right now. You say it's got an FDIC guarantee on it. Well, guess what? That may work if only 1, 2, or 10 banks. But what happens fail? If 1, 2, or 10 fail. But what happens if we see hundreds of banks across the country fail? FDIC isn't going to work. What will they do then? They'll put capital controls on all the other banks that haven't gone out of business yet to keep people from panicking and withdrawing their funds. And I was reading an article from Mitch Shedlock just lately, and he made a very interesting comment. He said, the first law of panic is to be the first one to panic. In other words, if your bank is going to go broke and there's going to be a panic, you want to be among the first ones to get in and get your money out before they close the doors. If you're among the last to panic, it'll be too late. Your money will be gone. So the question becomes, is now the time to panic? So we just walk into the bank and don't say anything, don't act suspicious. Just walk up to the teller and say, I'd like to withdraw all of my funds. All right, don't make a scene out of it. Maybe you won't get arrested. Hard to say, but the first law of panics is to be the first one to panic. You might get out with your wealth. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, while we talked about the FDIC was no longer insuring the large corporate accounts, mm-hmm. at the end of the big issue with that, and what's made that so dangerous is because a lot of these corporations, these big accounts, kept their funds in smaller banks because they felt that the smaller banks were more local and that they felt just secure because they thought that their money was insured. With them no longer having that insurance, the thought was they would pull the money out, perhaps go with more of those too big to fail banks, leaving these small banks to where they would fail. That is the problem. So we're looking to see these smaller banks failing in these communities because these accounts are being withdrawn, leaving them dry, and with the fractional reserve business and so forth, a lot of them will go out of business. The FDIC doesn't have the money. And why was the FDIC even created? What's the one thing that you need to have when you have a fiat currency? What keeps the fiat currency valid?
Trust, particularly confidence. In the banks. Confidence,
yes.
Trust,
and
same
people
thing.
Have had that confidence with the FDIC, thinking that their money is insured. There is no way in this world there's enough money, the FDIC, as Jim stated, mm-hmm. to cover these accounts. Yes. So, folks, you better get it covered with the only insurance that I know of, and that's gold.
Yep.
And we have George.
Hold it in your own hand.
We have George from Toronto calling. Are you there, George?
Yeah. Hi, Melanie. Hi, Al. My question for Al today is, you were talking about the Plunge Protection Team and Reagan's presidential directive.
Executive order.
Yep. Executive order, yes. Sorry, Al. Do you know the number of that executive order?
Not off the top of my head, but the reason I know about it is because I wrote an article on it sometime in the last month or so. And
the reason I ask is because sometimes I'm talking to people and they say, oh, the markets aren't manipulated. And I say, yeah, it's true. It's in law. Reagan did it with a presidential.
It was, I do have that executive order number for you, George. It's 12631.
12631. Okay, that's good.
It was signed on March 18th of 1988.
Okay.
That way I can point them to things and say, there you go, in black and white.
That's the thing. Evidence. All right? Not just some wacko conspiracy theory. It's the truth. What else, George?
And another question. Now, I've got a fair amount of money in what we call an RRSP up here in Canada. That's a Registered Retirement Savings Plan. My broker says, it's with a brokerage account, he says I can't hold the actual physical gold, okay, or silver, but there's mechanisms where you can buy those things through a third party.
And they'll hold and your gold for you.
Right, and they're doing it like in the Canadian mint. I think that's where they're storing it.
Uh-huh.
And it's
how
all
handy.
Serialized, you know, bars and all this kind of stuff, right? How safe do you think that is, Al?
I think the danger, for example, in American banks right now, I think the reason the government wants your money in the banks is because it's easy to seize. If I take my money and stuff it in my mattress, government's got to send some people out to bust into my home and chase around, go through the closets, everything else. They say, you know, you got that money hidden here someplace, and they finally find it in my mattress, all right? It takes time and energy. It makes people angry, puts the troops in difficult positions and the rest of that to come looking for it from home to home. But
right.
if you and I and everybody in my neighborhood, we all put our funds in an electronic form in a bank down the street, the government can seize those electronic forms, bam, at the speed of light. You understand? They can walk in and grab yours and mine, and the woman lives across the street, the guy, you get my picture. Everybody is vulnerable to confiscation the same way they're vulnerable in Cyprus. Now, that same principle applies with gold depositories. It's like Willie Sutton used to say in the 1930s. They asked him, why do you rob banks during the Great Depression? He said, because that's where the money is. If government makes up its mind to rob anyone's gold, where do you suppose they're going to start? Digging around in my backyard? Or do you suppose they're going to go to the gold depositories where they know there's tons of gold? Right? Grab it now. Get that gold now before these people get smart and figure a way to get the gold out themselves. Get it now. Seal that depository, and now you can take the gold at leisure. From my perspective, it just doesn't make good sense to be storing your gold with someone else. I know that there are, I don't say that it's wrong. I know if you're a wealthy man, George, and you have a lot of gold. I knew a man back in Dallas had a couple of tons of gold, and he stored it in-house at his own home. He had a couple of tons. Right? I think that's dangerous. That's a reckless position. You know, I can understand where a man who has a lot of gold is going to want to move it around. You don't want to keep it all under the bed. Huh? You might want to put it in a depository, some of it, but you also want to absolutely have a core supply that only you can get at easily, in my opinion, and enough to keep you going throughout a period, a difficult time. But don't want to put all your bars in one basket is what I'm trying to get to, George.
Well, the problem I have, Alan, I agree with you, but if I want to take that money out of my retirement account, I'll have to pay the taxes on it, okay, straight
yep.
away.
Yep.
And then I would have to buy the gold or silver and store it somewhere, like you were just saying.
Yeah, so, I get you.
Is it worth, like, paying the taxes? Because I've got, like I said, I got most of my money in gold and silver because I just know where this whole thing's going.
Well, where it's going is there's going to be somebody's going to try to grab things. If they try to grab things, what's your gold going to be worth? Say, ha ha, I beat the taxes, but I lost my gold.
Let me say this.
Yeah, that's.
Let me say this.
Pardon,
number one, we're not financial planners. Number two, sure. We learned a long time ago from Bob Chapman that you should never, if you're planning to make it an investment decision, you should always remove taxes and penalties, because when you remove that from the equation, you can make a decision. If you keep those, that will influence your decision. And
they want it to influence your decision. They want you to leave it where it's handy in case they need to grab it all at once. There's nothing more handy than a gold depository.
Now, let me say something else. However, I think that's better. And again, we're all about risk. You want to remove the risk. You want to, you know, even in your investments, even with gold and silver, there's various risks. So you always want to go with the least amount of risk. Mm-hmm. Having it in that account, if you decide because of the taxes and penalties you're not going to move it, it's better to have it into gold than leaving it into paper. I write a lot of IRA accounts where people choose to store their metals with a depository here in the States. That's their choice. They're informed and they know their options. That's the key, knowing your options. And it's still better to have it in gold and silver in an IRA here in the States than to keep it in an IRA in paper. Because the paper brings you the biggest risk.
And in fact, it wouldn't even be in paper. It'll be digital. If you're going to store your wealth in a bank account or any other sort of, it's going to be kept on a digital account. That's all. There's not even a piece of paper there per se. There's just a zero and some zeros and one. We're going to have to take a break. Here come the commercials. We're about 2 minutes late. George, thank you for your call. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We will be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's the next, Melody?
Got this question in from Richard. He says, if you already have gold and silver coins, where do you put your remaining bank deposits? So the big question now is, people really don't know how much gold and silver they should own. I hear people that have, they're just led to believe they should just have enough money in to barter, to buy. They don't view gold as the true purpose of it, as the security of your wealth, the hedge against inflation, the insurance policy. They don't see it as real money, and so they are very inadequate when it comes to what they have and their ability to make an informed decision on how much they should hold in their portfolio. I have a rule of thumb. And I know most people can't be 100% in gold. I have many customers that are, Al. I have lots of customers that are 100% in gold. And I have other customers who have gold shares and gold, physical gold. I have customers that are in, I mean, they're all over the place. So my rule of thumb is, back in the 90s, we only recommended 20%, but this isn't the 90s. Yeah. Today, I believe an account needs to be, if you have $100,000 in paper, you should have $100,000 in metal. You insure your home for $100,000, that's what gold does. You're insuring your wealth. So allow your gold to be your insurance policy. Mm-hmm. So you should have equal amounts. Just as an example you gave earlier with the banks. If you have a $100,000 home, you wouldn't insure it with $20,000 or $5,000 for that home. You would you'd carry a bigger policy. So your investment assets are the same. Insure them and have an equal balance.
The problem people have in this country is the American dollar has been the world reserve currency since basically the time of my birth at the end of World War II. It's been the world dominant currency. And as a result, we haven't had to think about currencies. We just use them. Mm-hmm. Right? Very few people have had to think about them. Get into a place like Europe, or you get into a place like Africa, and there are a multitude of currencies that are available or have been for most of the past 65 years. And you learn that this currency is worth more today than this other currency. And therefore, I would rather have currency A than currency B, but I'll take currency B if the exchange rate is correct. And it causes people to think about money in a completely different way than we do here in the States. Here in the States, we only count it. We don't think about the nature. What kind of money is it? That's natural in the rest of the world. It's not natural here. It's been the disability that attaches to having the world reserve currency. We become ignorant, right? Because there's only one in this country that we have to worry about. The day is coming where it appears that the dollar may not survive. Then something else is going to move in and be used as money and take its place. It could be the dollar's still there partly, but not to the extent it was. We may have an alternative currency, some sort of an alternative choice. And that's an almost impossible concept for most people. So that's crazy talk. We can't have anything other than dollars. Well, yeah, we can. And it could be gold and silver, and it will almost certainly be gold and silver, because no one, if the dollar really crashes, no one's going to take another paper currency and just say, well, I won't take the green paper, I'll take the pink paper. All right? As it goes down, we're headed toward that dollar and silver. So how much do you need? You need some, right? It just makes sense. It doesn't mean that you have to get rid of all the money you have in your bank account, but the man who posed the question, he's, I don't know how much money he's got in his bank account. It's none of my business. If he's got $5,000 in his bank account, well, it's not enough to worry about exactly. I'm sure it's important to him. But whether it is gold or cash, doesn't. But on the other hand, if he had $250,000 in the bank account, how much cash does he need? How much of that $250,000 is intended for long-term savings? In his mind, how much? Is he thinking the whole $250,000 or only $50,000 or whatever? Whatever you've got in the bank that you have earmarked for long-term savings, something that can protect you if push comes to shove, that amount, in my opinion, I'd put it into gold or silver. And I would not store it in the bank. Huh? And it may turn out that maybe the recommendation isn't the best recommendation you could have in this world. We don't know, but you look right now into the future as well as best you can, I can, Melody can. You look into the future, if you can see anything at all, you say, look, it only makes sense to put however much you intend to save. How much do you have today that you want to have 5 years from now? That is for savings. It's not saving up so you can buy a new Ferrari. It's for savings. How much do you have? Put it into gold, put it into silver, my opinion. What else we have, Melody?
We have another caller, but I just wanted to add, you know, we talk about currencies, the change, our dollar losing the reserve. You know, the people in Cyprus, they could be taking a haircut by as much as 60%, but yet they're still in the euro. They still have their currency. You can be in any of these where you can lose your value, even have your money stored at the bank. Yeah, you have U.S. dollars, but you're still losing against inflation. I had a lady ask me today, well, what's better for me, my money in the bank or gold? It's like, well, you know what? Your money is losing. You're losing your purchasing power with that cash sitting there where the banks aren't paying anything. Plus, you have the risk of losing, what, up to 60% if it went by the way of Cyprus. So it's all about preserving what you have, the purchasing power. And we became, you know, our minds have been, we've been conditioned to believe that, you know, we need to have these huge gains. And the only way we can have these huge gains is if we're in paper or in here. How about just keeping what we have? Because it's those who keep what they have will be the, they will have the real wealth in the future.
Yeah, if you keep anything. I mean, we're looking at people in Cyprus right now where they are at least threatened with 100% losses. I guarantee you, if they had the option, no matter what the terms were, if they could have sold, gotten rid of all the money they had in their bank accounts, and all they came up with was 20% of that was traded into gold, they'd have 20% today. Huh? They'd still have that 20%. And that may seem like a bad deal at the beginning. So, well, I've got 100,000 euros. And when I go do this deal, I don't have 20,000 euros worth of gold. That may look like a bad deal today from, say, a month ago, but today, not so bad. You walk out, well, at least I got 20%. I didn't get skinned for a whole 100%. I guess I still have 20%. I protected myself.
And we have a caller, Art from Massachusetts. Hi, Art.
Hi. I'm listening to you young people. I'm 70 years old, and I've been in the gold and silver recovery business since 1968. I buy electronic scrap and so on, and there's a lot of money in it, okay? Instead of the young people who are going out having these jewelry parties and stuff and ripping off all these old people. You know, there's places to take the dollar right now if you have the money, as little as $5,000 increments, and put it into Israel and get 12% back on your dollar. So there is money out there to be made. I've done it. Okay.
Well, I understand that there's money to be made, but the average person, again, they look at foreign banks, for example. Cyprus has been a lesson to the world. People move their money into foreign banks because they don't trust the domestic banks. All right, they don't trust the banks or their own government, so they move into foreign banks, or they move their gold into foreign depositories because they don't trust the local government, the United States government, for example, or what. We're just coming into a difficult time, and no one has an absolute answer. There are options available, but nobody can sit back and say this is absolutely foolproof. We can minimize the amount of risk, but we live in risky times.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, okay? But I personally would not go the way that you're suggesting to people to go. If you got gold and you got diamonds and you got all of that right now, okay, you can either take the chance of putting it in the depository box at your bank or on your own property, like I have, okay? And so it's where I can put my hands on it, touch it, smell it, and possibly use it, okay? Yep. The conversion rate is something I'm telling you right now, I can get, you talk about 20%, I can do 35%. So, you know, what you're suggesting, some of it is right, some of it is wrong. And I've been doing this for so long.
It depends on what we get into.
The wrong than the right.
Well, it depends on what we're headed for. Are we headed for a complete collapse, or are we only headed for a moderately difficult time? In the event of a complete collapse, your money in a foreign country or even a bank 50 miles away may not be accessible. While whatever you bury in the backyard is in the event of a complete collapse. On the other hand, if we're going through just a difficult time, not a complete collapse, but something moderate, unpleasant, but not too bad, that's a different story. Where are we headed? Where are we going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now? You tell me that, and I'll tell you what to do.
And
but you don't know, and neither do I.
And something else, Al, it's all great when things in the past has worked fine. You know, we've lived, I mean, it's been said repeatedly, we haven't had a bad day in this country in a very long time. Sure, things happen and so forth, but it always seems to sort of work out. And those that really do lose, you know, they're kind of washed away, put away, out of sight, out of mind. So as long as everything is working fine, then I guess some things will work. But the big question is, how long are things going to work fine? Yeah. We've already seen the governments go after Switzerland. We've already seen our governments go after various tax havens. I mean, Cyprus is a very big tax haven. And I don't think you're going to see this quit, this stop. Governments need money. And yes, I know there's a lot of money that's stored. Where do you think a lot of, this is my opinion, Bernie Madoff, I'm sure he still has a lot of money sitting over there in Israel. I know a lot of people that probably have a lot of money sitting in Israel right now. But how long is it going to be safe there? And how long is it going to, and I think when you have a world currency problem, it affects all currencies, whether they're in a different unit. And you're still going to be looking at the inflation rates, not only here, but around the world. It will impact the world. It will impact each and every one of us. So if you have your funds elsewhere, hey, good luck. You know, that's the risk that you are taking, and that's what it's all about. It's about risk. How much risk are you willing to take?
And the risk we're talking about is not simply a risk of whether you're going to bank in Cyprus, Israel, or the United States. That's not the only choice you have to deal with. You have to deal with how much risk is inherent in fiat currencies. That's the risk. I don't care where you put your fiat dollars. You can put them in Israel. You can put them on the moon. If their fiat currency is a fiat currency, a reliable store of wealth, and the answer is absolutely no. And the evidence is manifest that you can't depend on fiat currencies to protect your wealth. And that's part of the reason we talk about gold. You go into something other than fiat currencies, and then you're going to have to figure out the storage problems for yourself. But at least you can avoid what may be a massive problem for fiat currencies generally across the world. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sales. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.